Good morning. Looks like we have a, do have a nice assembly this morning. We appreciate that very much. I know we have several guests visiting with us, and we're excited to have you, and we want you to know that you are honored guests. And as I mentioned in Bible study, if you see or hear anything that is curious to you that you want to discuss, I'd be happy to, nothing would please me more than to sit down with an open Bible and discuss the things, why we do what we do. We believe that the Bible is the awe-inspired, infallible, complete Word of God. It is God's first and last revelation to us. And we try to do Bible things in Bible ways and call Bible things by Bible names. We seek to speak where the Bible speaks and to be silent where the Bible is silent. For the Bible is where we get our authority in the things that we do. Appreciate again so very much your being here. There are some, for the folks who are regular members here and whoever would like to, if you haven't already, there are three or four cards on the back table that they would like you to sign before you leave today. The old saying used to be, what you don't know won't hurt you. And that's not always the case, is it? If you don't know that there is strychnine in a bottle that you're about to take a drink from, that could hurt you. That could hurt you real bad. There are people in the world today that don't know about sin. And if they don't know about sin, they're certainly not going to know about redemption or forgiveness of sin. And if they don't know about redemption or forgiveness of sin, they don't know my Jesus, your Jesus. And what they don't know is certainly going to hurt them. Last week, we looked at the importance of the knowledge of Christ as it relates to a transformed life. And we now continue thinking about the knowledge of Christ and how it gives us the power to overcome. And specifically, how the knowledge of Christ in the transformed life has the power to overcome temptation. Temptation is that advertisement, if you will, that is placed before us by Satan. And he is enticing us to buy his goods. He's enticing us to put aside the will of God. In many instances, he's asking us to put aside our own values so that we do what he wants. And he plays us for a fool. The New Testament expresses the fact that we have power in Christ, that we have power through the Word of Christ. And our brother read for us just a moment ago in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, we find that God's Word strengthens us. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now, if you recall in John chapter 1, Jesus is called the Word, the Logos, that all-powerful, infinite Word. And so by saying through Christ, it is through the message that Christ has brought to us. We don't have any miraculous power to overcome temptation. The power we do have comes through Christ, and it comes through our knowledge of Christ. Now, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, contextually, does not mean that I can leap tall buildings in a single bound. It doesn't mean that the football team I'm on is going to beat the other football team. Paul is saying that he has the strength for every situation in life. In verse 12, Paul says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. That's the kind of thing to which Paul is referring. And the present tense suggests that he can continue to do all things that God expects of him because of the power infused in us or into us by the inspired, complete, inerrant, all-sufficient Word of God. Now, you've probably heard this passage of Scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. People have erroneously extended the comfort of this verse to one and all. But Paul did not write this to be used as a slogan for positive thinking seminars, nor to encourage folks to continue living in open rebellion to the Word of God. The homosexual movement, the pro-choice movement. I actually heard a pro-choice, which means pro-death, pro-murder of the unborn, cite this verse to say that we can legalize it and we can keep it legal. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If that's not blasphemy, I don't know what is. To cite the Bible to support the murder of the most righteous, the most defenseless creatures on the face of the earth. Well, how do we know that Paul didn't use this statement for self-help to make everybody just feel good about themselves? Well, he qualifies it. If we take the Greek text and we convert each letter in order to English, it says literally, for all things I have strength in the one strengthening me. You're going to tell me an atheist is looking to God and to Christ for strength? The humanist? The agnostic? I dare say not even the denominationalist is looking to Christ in the right way to have the strength and the comfort that Paul is here talking about. Because they can't be taught wrong, and they can't be accepting Christ in the right way if they're not accepting Christ in the Bible way. It just can't be done. The preposition in that verse, I have strength in the one strengthening me, is very important because it suggests an accord, an agreement with the one that is providing strength. I can't be receiving strength from God Almighty while consistently and habitually doing the will of Satan on earth. I can't look for the strength of God if I'm living in adultery or fornication or homosexuality, or if I'm a prone liar, or if I'm a cheater, or if I'm a drunkard. If I don't care anything about getting out of those sins, I have no business to expect God's help in that sin. See, only those who are in Christ can benefit from the blessings of Christ. Let me say that again. Only those who are in Christ may benefit from the blessings of Christ. Church, how do we get in Christ? Galatians 3:27 says we are baptized into Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into the one body. Ephesians 4:4 says there's one body. Colossians 1 says that the body is the church. So if there's only one body, then there's only one church. And the only way that you and I can enter that one church is to be baptized into that church. Thus, with this statement, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is no license within this verse that allows us to sin with impunity, saying, even though this is sin, this is a sin thing, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And there are some ridiculous people on the face of the earth that will play fast and loose with the scriptures to say, well, this is a thing, and even though it's a sin thing, the Bible says I can do all things. I don't think anybody in here is that foolish. At least I hope not. And if you are, and if you drove here, please don't drive anymore. He leads us to victory, we see in verse 14 of our text. Nevertheless, you have done well that you share in my distress. I'm in the wrong verse. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Notice that preposition? In Christ. And through us, he diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Sorry for that confusion. You see, thanks is given to God here. And this, it's only right that we thank God. We cannot resist Satan if we don't have the knowledge of our Lord. We wouldn't know how to resist. I dare say we would even know to resist. If a person doesn't realize a bee can sting them, they might not worry about being swarmed by bees. They don't know to resist. That little child who has never experienced a hot stove doesn't know to experience it, or doesn't know to avoid it until he or she experiences it. Mom can, or dad can say, now honey, stay away from the hot stove. And they can say it until they're blue in the face, but the child doesn't understand it until he experiences it. God always leads us in triumph in Christ, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14. The picture there is a parade of soldiers following their leader as they return from a battle in triumph. And they would parade through the cities and through the countryside. And brethren and friends, the armies of God are victorious when they have met the enemy, the devil, and have soundly defeated him by not bowing to his temptation. We have the strength to conquer and triumph, and it comes to us in the knowledge of Christ. Turn, if you would, for just a moment to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. The strength to conquer and triumph comes to us in the knowledge of Christ. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. The writer says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet was without sin. Christ met the enemy and defeated him every time. And then the writer says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that's Christ's throne, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Where do we get that grace? Where do we get that mercy? From a self-help seminar? No. From Dr. Phil? No. From Oprah? Certainly not. We get it from God's word. We get it from plain, simple, biblical teaching and preaching. Not the "I'm okay, you're okay" fluff that is so popular today. So our Lord has felt the heat of battle, temptation. He knows what we are going through. And we can know that He knows what we're going through. He didn't suffer temptation so He would know what we're going through. He suffered temptation so that we would know that He knows what we're doing, what we're dealing with. We don't have to explain it for Him, you see. Lord, you just don't understand what it's like to be tempted. We don't have to say that because Jesus knows exactly what it's like to be tempted. We have His example to follow in situations of temptation that arise before us. And we can draw upon our knowledge of the righteous Lord and the Redeemer since we know that He's been there. And we know that He can and will supply grace and mercy to help in our times of need. We know that through Christ, that in Christ we are conquerors. And in fact, the Bible says we are more than conquerors. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. It's not because of our own ability, not because of our own righteousness. He says, yet in all things we are more than conquerors. What are the things He's talking about? Well, if we look back up to Romans 8:35, we read those things. Christians do not merely survive their problems. The Bible says we can overwhelmingly conquer them, these temptations. We do not merely cope with them, but with God's help, we use these challenges to become better people. We use these challenges to become stronger, to become more righteous, to become more sympathetic, to become more merciful, to become more loving, to be less tolerant of wickedness and sin. This country is afflicted. There's a dichotomy going on. One side says tolerance in everything. And the only thing they won't tolerate is intolerance. Do you know that there is a store somewhere in the United States that this holiday season are going to be selling gingerbread, gender neutral, because they don't want to hurt somebody's precious feelings by calling it a gingerbread man? Because somebody's going to get their bloomers in a bunch. Isn't that ridiculous? Christ exemplifies overcoming temptation. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is led away by the Spirit, and He's sent into the wilderness, a deserted place, for 40 days. And during His 40 days, Jesus was tempted by the devil. Actually, in Matthew's record, it says at the end of the 40 days of fasting, Satan came to Him. Now you think, you have eaten nothing for 40 days, and Satan comes to you And he says, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. I'd be tempted to do it after 40 minutes. But Jesus didn't say, no, I can't do that. Because you know and I know he could have done it. He wouldn't have had to turn that stone into bread. He could have just said, I want some bread. And there could have been a T-bone steak and a baked potato just pop up out of nowhere. Christ has that power. But that's not what Jesus did. He appealed to the Word of God. And he said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. What do we live by? Every word, each word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's where we get our sustenance. We learn from here Satan's M.O. And Jesus exposed Satan's tactics. In verses 2 and 3, when did Satan attack Jesus? At his weakest. 40 days without food. And the first thing Satan hits him with, turn that bread into stone. Or turn it backwards. Turn that stone into bread. And then in verses 5 through 7, we see that Satan will make us fascinating offers. The devil took him on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for it has been delivered unto me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Do you realize how ignorant Satan is right there? Satan promised to give Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. Let me ask you a question. Who created the world? It was Jesus. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Who's the Word? You get down to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Yes, Jesus was the Creator. And Satan said, Jesus, that'd be like somebody saying, John, there's a 2009 Ford Escape sitting out there on Claremont Avenue. I'm going to give it to you. Well, why don't you go ahead and do that? Because my name's on the title anyway. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? Well, that's exactly what Satan did. And then in verses 9 through 11, Satan dares us to tempt God, or dare Jesus to tempt God, saying, and here's where Satan misquotes Scripture. A lot of us are good at that. He brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And then Satan tried it. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Was that law given just so Jesus could tempt God? Was that law given just so Jesus could throw himself down off the temple and prove that he wouldn't get hurt? No. Jesus told Satan that he was being, basically, the implication was he told Satan he's being ridiculous. Satan knows how to misquote Scripture. Jesus explains for us how to overcome Satan's attacks. He had two very powerful resources. He had, number one, he had the Spirit of God, and he had the Word of God. You see, the phrase, it is written, is much too powerful for Satan. You know why? Because when a righteous person says it, it represents truth. And since Satan is the father of lies, John 8:44, and as such, he is defeated by the truth of God's word. And God's word is truth. So said Jesus in John 17:17. He, in his high priestly prayer, he said, Lord, Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Satan can't handle the truth. I'm not quoting a movie there. He just can't. The truth will defeat Satan every time. And that's, we have an unbeatable combination for victory. We have the indwelling of the Spirit received at baptism in Acts 2:38. And it's explained further in Romans 8, 9 through 11. Romans 8, 9 through 11. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's God, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Well, what's the Spirit do in us, John? I don't know all of that. But I know it's there because the Bible tells me. And I've never found the Bible to lie to me or to anyone. I've never found a lie in the Bible that was meant for us. I have never found a contradiction in the Bible. It's what we need. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6:17. And we have the interceding Son, Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Christ intercedes for us. He makes utterances for us that when we go to God in prayer and we don't know what to say and we don't even make sense, God hears it from Jesus. He takes our human feeble utterances and he, in a sense, translates them into intelligent conversation. And that's, I don't think that's literal. I think that's just a way to let us know that Christ is there interceding for us. That we have a mediator between us and God, the man, Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy chapter 1. So does knowledge of the Spirit enable us to overcome? It certainly does. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that we have this, God has promised us that when you and I are faced with a temptation to sin, that God will provide for us a way of escape. We don't have to sin. He provides a way of escape. Somebody sets a beer up in front of us and says, drink this. I'm not obligated. There's a way of escape. I can say no. Whatever the sin is, I can say no. You know, if you lie on this report, you'll get a raise. You'll get a promotion. I don't have to. There's a way of escape. I can say no. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The psalmist believes that God's word will keep us from sin. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Brethren, we should saturate our minds with God's word through careful and prayerful study, reading, and memorization of God's word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, preacher, I don't have time to study. I'm too busy to study God's word. If you're too busy to study God's word, you're just too busy. You're just too busy. When Satan tempts us, we can recall a promise. We can be able to recall a warning. We'll be able to recall a command of God that applies to the situation. It can happen. Somebody tempts you at adultery. You think of Joseph, and Joseph, how he refused the sexual advances of Potiphar's wife, saying, how can I do this thing and sin against my God? and pray for wisdom, James 1:5. God will give us wisdom if we ask for it for the right reason. Because Satan is subtle and he's crafty and like that roaring lion, he walks about seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8. Brethren and friends, I'm telling you, what we don't know can be very dangerous. Imagine if you did not know there was a thing called sin or that forgiveness of sins was available. I urge you this morning, beloved, never be satisfied with your level of Bible knowledge. You can never know enough about the Bible. Never think you can't learn something new about the Christ or his church. We have the scriptures for a reason. God knew we needed them. Let us take the fullest advantage possible of the Bible so that we may please the Father to our fullest potential. The attitude that says, I know enough about God, probably belongs to a person who will never see God. And that's sad. You're going to be tempted later on today. You're going to be tempted probably as soon as you walk out the building. We'll be tempted, you know, next time we meet for services, you don't have to go. We'll be tempted at work to swear or cuss or tell a dirty joke. We'll be tempted at school to cheat on a test. You don't have to. But I know you've already sinned. If you can understand what I'm saying, you've sinned. Because you have that mental capacity. Here's what you do about it. You confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You repent. In other words, you express a desire to stop sinning, to get out of the practice and the habit of sin. And then you come forward and let us immerse you in water to have your sins washed away, Acts 22:16. That's how you become a Christian. And that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Maybe you are a Christian and you've not been faithful. You've let Satan get the advantage of you. It's happened before. It'll happen again. Don't lament in it. Deal with it. Come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. Let's go to heaven. And let's take as many with us as we can. Would you come right now, please, as we stand and sing.